My name is Ben, and today it's my honor to present to you what is joint work between what my co-author Martin actually called me and my minions from SAP Research. I'm very fond of them, so it's okay if I make fun of them a little. The title already says it, so we're proposing a new filter for DOM-based cross-site scripting. I will just very briefly go over the basics here due to the time constraints. So what is DOM-XSS actually? DOM-XSS kind of subsumes all classes of vulnerabilities that are caused purely by kind of flawed client-side JavaScript code. So basically, it's not like reflected XSS that you might from a server side. We have PHP running that is maybe reflecting anything back, but it's purely caused by these client-side flows. And contrary to popular belief, there's actually kind of something like I would call a reflected DOM-based XSS, where, for example, you extract a part of the URL, which is pretty much the same as on the server side, and that is somewhat interpreted as code at a later point. But also, there is like something like stored cross-site scripting. So with HTML5, the storage API was introduced that actually allows you, as a website, to store some content kind of in a persistent storage on the client, which actually might also, at some point, carry some code. And obviously, everybody knows what XSS is for. It's so the cookie monster is happy and can steal cookies. There are actually some more complex attacks that you might do with XSS. For example, defacement, or also ask password managers nicely to surrender all your passwords. And as I said already, I'm going to talk about a filter. And if we talk about XSS filtering, you have to talk about the state of the art of XSS filtering. And this is the XSS auditor, which is part of WebKit, Blink. Basically, Blink is just a fork of WebKit, and it's deployed in all the browsers. So for example, Google Chrome. And it's located inside the HTML parser, which is a very important fact that I will come to later. And whenever a dangerous element or attribute, so for example, a script, is detected during parsing, the auditor actually looks to see if kind of the payload, so for example, either the URL of the remote script that is being included or the extra JavaScript is contained in the request. And this is kind of shown here. So you have the HTML parser that then invokes the XSS auditor, and kind of the XSS auditor either stops the attack or says, OK, there is no attack, so let's go on and work with the JavaScript that I just got. So we did some previous work on DOM-based cross-site scripting for last year's CCS. In order to find this at scale, we kind of took Google Chromium and patched it so that it would actually allow us to use taint tracking. That means that inside V8, which is the JavaScript engine of Chrome, as well as the Blink, or back then was the WebKit rendering engine, every string has for each character in the string an exact information attached from where this came from. So basically, it can either be null, zero, which means it was benign, so it was hard-coded, or can have a source identifier. For example, it came from the URL, it came from a cookie, and stuff like that. This is was then combined with patched syncs for DOM-XSS. So for example, document write is a sync for DOM-XSS or eval. We paired that with a non-malicious Chrome extension, I believe, that we were also using to kind of crawl a given set of websites, but that also acted as an interface between our taint engine and our backend. And on this backend, we had an exploit generator that kind of took this information. So basically, you have a string, you have the exact taint information, you know the sync. For example, it might be document write, and you know document write is HTML. So if I know I have a tainted, let's say I have some tainted information that is inside an attribute, I can just go ahead and try to close that attribute, close the element, and then just put script alert one. And this is, as I said, related work from last year's CCS. So for last year's CCS, we crawled the Alexa top 5K, went down one level from the start page, and we found a hell of a lot of vulnerabilities. So actually 480 domains, which was very surprising to us, were vulnerable to DOM-XSS within the Alexa top 5K. For this talk, actually, thanks to a colleague of mine, we had some more crawling power that we could utilize. So we went ahead and crawled the Alexa top 10K, going down two levels from the start page, and kind of using our exploit generator, we found that 958 domains had a total of roughly 1,600 unique vulnerabilities. And when we verified the unique vulnerabilities, or these vulnerabilities, we actually disabled the XSS auditor. Because just if the XSS auditor catches an exploit, it doesn't mean that there isn't a vulnerability kind of in that client-side code. But rather, in this case, the XSS auditor was successful in kind of catching it. The next step, and this is basically half of our paper, which I have to cut down to one slide due to timing constraints, we kind of analyzed and looked at the XSS auditor and more specifically how we might be able to bypass it, especially for DOM-based cross-site script. And in doing that, we actually found kind of three classes of bypasses. Some were located inside the HTML parser. So for example, for performance reasons, the XSS auditor is actually off for inner HTML, which is for DOM XSS a huge deal. But again, I will come to that later. It was never intended to tackle DOM XSS. We found certain issues inside the XSS auditor itself. Mostly, whoa, that's not good. Please don't go to sleep. Thank you. Mostly related to kind of string matching issues. So where you had a site, for example, that had existing JavaScript code, and you would just inject something in, right in the middle of that, and then if you try to, as again I said it earlier, the HTML parser looks for the kind of the complete payload, and if there's things left and right of that that are not contained in a request or that are not coming from the UL, then it's not able to detect it. But I have to refer you to the paper on more details on that. And actually, well, will you work? Not work. This is bad. Wait a second. Try that again. Now it works better. Okay. Thanks, Alex, for your malware. And some of these flows, especially with respect to DOM-based cross-site scripting, actually don't even traverse the HTML parser. I said it earlier, eval, that's a JavaScript functionality that never goes through through the HTML parser, and therefore the auditor has no chance of kind of catching these. So we took our data set and found that out of those 960 domains, roughly, that were vulnerable, we could bypass the auditor in 776 of those cases. And in total, we found that roughly 1,169 of the vulnerabilities were actually bypassable. And this actually shows that the state of the art in client-side cross-site scripting filtering is not able to kind of tackle DOM-based XSS. To be fair towards the auditor, which is actually a pretty interesting design, it was never designed to tackle DOM XSS. It was designed to tackle reflected XSS. But then we went ahead and kind of thought about, so what can we do that might actually be better suited towards DOM-based cross-site scripting? And let me take one step back first. So let's have a look at the hard level of a reflected XSS filter. So if you look at what XSS actually is, it means that user-provided data, for example, you enter something into a search field or something, ends up at some point being interpreted as code, right? You inject a script tag and then obviously, that's no longer data, it's code. This is exactly the same for SQL injection or for command injection as well. And what an XSS filter does, and that's also what the auditor does, it has to try it and find in the response, if we talk about server-side reflected XSS, in the response coming back from the server, these parts of these pieces of JavaScript that are actually injected by the attacker. So it kind of has to approximate what was there was a data flow on the server side. And it does that by kind of using string matching. So it was in the request, it's in the response. So I'm pretty sure that it might have traversed the server somehow. However, I already said it. We're looking at DOM-based cross-site scripting, which means it's local to the browser. So we don't actually need this kind of coarse approximation of this data flow, but we have the precise taint information already. And XSS, I can't strike that enough, boils down to being JavaScript execution, right? It's not. I mean, HTML injection is also possible, but XSS is actually JavaScript execution. So we propose that our filter should actually be built into the JavaScript engine and not inside the HTML parser. As I said, things like eval, you just can't catch in the HTML parser. And XSS means, and also I'm kind of making that point once more, means that data, that was intended to be data, is being interpreted as code at some point. And if you talk in terms of in terms of JavaScript tokens, all data tokens are actually called literals in there. So it's basically numerics, it's strings, and it's Boolean values. And we propose that if something is user-provided data, which we can see if we have the precise taint tracking, then this user-provided data should always be interpreted as data, namely it should only generate literal tokens and nothing else. But let me just give you a quick example. So this is actually a super simplified example, and I think there might be a lot of people that are thinking, so this is so stupid, nobody's going to do that. Actually, this is something that we see quite frequently out in the wild. For those of you who didn't right away spot the vulnerability, I will go into that on the next slide. So let's first look at the regular case. So let's say the user input is just user data. So what ends up being passed to eval is actually that part in the upper right box. So you have var a equals user data. And on the left is kind of an abbreviated version of the AST that is being generated by the JavaScript engine. And we see that user data, that's the red part, which is obviously coming from the user, is only generating a string literal. So in this case, we're happy. This is OK. This is according to our policy. In the next stage, we have an attacker who kind of found this vulnerability. It might be us. Our expert generator generated this. So what we do is we try to break out of this string declaration and then execute alert one. So actually, what ends up being passed to the JavaScript engine is not just this var a equals user data, but rather we break out of that, we put alert one, and have a comment to kind of get rid of the quotation mark at the end. And this is actually what the AST then looks like on the once this whole thing is being parsed, and you can clearly see there is a tainted identifier here, so that's alert. So in this case, we just say no more. We're not going to execute any more of your JavaScript, and therefore kind of foiling this XSS attack. So policies, I already talked to you about this first policy. So basically, a tainted value may only generate a literal and never anything else. Secondly, in theory, if an attacker was not trying to inject JavaScript, but rather kind of inject a remote piece of JavaScript, so it would do script source, then we would have to decide, OK, so if the source is maybe has a tainted character, so we could either say, OK, just taint everything in that, in the script. Because, I mean, it's coming from a user-provided URL or the attacker-provided URL, but rather we just go, we actually kind of go one step back and we patch the HTML parser and the DOM bindings to allow only those external resources to be loaded if no character in the origin is tainted, so not the protocol, not the domain name, and not the port. The only exception to that rule, and this is similar to what the XSS auditor does as well, if the origins match, so basically we're on google.com, and again we have a page that is being, or a script that is being loaded, that is also coming from google.com, even if google.com, in this case the string, might be tainted, we say, okay, the origins match, so the attacker has no control over google.com, so, because otherwise he wouldn't have to have a cross-site scripting in that case. Okay, so we then went ahead and evaluated our approach in kind of three categories. So the first category was false negatives. We took all the vulnerabilities we had found so far. We had these matching exploit URLs. Again, please read the CCS paper for more details on that. We disabled the XSS auditor for this because we didn't want it to catch our exploits, but rather see how our filter performed. And we were able to catch every of the exploits that we crafted. Obviously, one might say that if you know kind of the ground truth and you know what exploits to block, then it's easy. But I guess, I will come to that on the last slide. OK, so then false positives. Obviously, if you have a perfect possibility to catch all XSS, that's super, but you don't want to break existing sites, right? So we again went ahead and crawled the Alexa top 10K with our policy enforced browser in place. Again, two levels down, crawled roughly 1 million URLs with a total of 9.3 million frames. Alex said it already earlier, so you have iframes like with advertisement on each pages. So this is basically why you have so many pages, so many frames in total. And in that, we actually blocked a total of 15,000 documents, which is 0.016% of all the documents that we analyzed. This sounds pretty nice so far. If you go and look at how many domains kind of these blocks occurred, it looks a little bit worse. So we had 183 domains that were being blocked, so 1.83%, which is already pretty high. However, the block was only occurring in one single component. So on one side, it was, I think, a chat. On the other side was advertisement, but it was only always pinpointed to just one single functionality. And more importantly, half of those functionalities were actually vulnerabilities. So we kind of looked at those and said, okay, this is actually vulnerable. So they're basically doing XSS by design by having code in the URL, which they seem to have, they seem to think that this is a good idea, actually. Okay, we then kind of, as a next step, evaluated the performance using the four standard benchmarks, Droma.io, Octane, Kraken, and SunSpider, and we had actually two modes of operation. So we had the normal operation that we, at some point would like to deploy, and we had a mode of operation where we considered all strings to be tainted. This is due to the fact that these standardized benchmarks, they don't use tainted values, they don't use the URL, but they use hard-coded strings. So kind of having a grasp on what is the absolute worst case runtime, we said, okay, let's just treat all strings as tainted and copy around all the taint information all the time to kind of get an upper bound to the performance overhead. And that we found that we have an overhead between 7 and 17%. There are optimizations possible because V8 draws a lot of its kind of supreme power from actually using assembler macros rather than C++ runtime for certain functionalities. So for example, if you have a substring on a string that is flat in memory, that's like 10 assembly instructions that you return, which is obviously very, very fast. Whereas in special cases, actually it only then jumps out to the runtime C++ implementation. But obviously, if you want to patch a Google Chrome and it's like 3.5 million lines of code, I think, you don't want to patch assembler. So we opted to just always jump out to the runtime. Basically, this explains the 7% overhead we have all the time, even without tainted strings in there. OK, so concluding. We've seen that state-of-the-art filters can be bypassed for DOM-based cross-site scripting. This is mostly due to the fact that I think no filter has actually focused on these kinds of vulnerabilities so far. We propose a new filter design that uses precise taint information and only allowing tainted literals to be generated inside the JavaScript engine. We have no false negatives so far. And if there are any false negatives, I believe they are only due to implementational issues. I'm pretty sure that we covered mostly all ways that XSS can get into a system. Again, 3.5 million lines of code is a lot, but I think if there are kind of bypasses to our filter, it would most likely be due to implementational issues. We have low false positives, so all the false positives we had were actually kind of XSS by design. And some of them were actually on a Google domain because they were using kind of JSON that was kind of in the URL and then being passed to eval. But they have a very strict regular expression kind of just in front of that. So you can't actually exploit it. So the only JSON will go through. And that's why we said, OK, in these cases where the kind of the author of that page is super sure that he's actually filtering properly, let's allow them to untaint a string. So we provide an untaint API, which you basically pass a string, and it gives you an untainted copy back. There is a performance impact. I told you that already. I believe that there are still optimizations possible if this were to be adopted by Google. And it would, I guess, be a good fit to kind of deploy it next to the auditor because, again, the auditor still protects against reflected XSS, and we are only targeting DOM-based cross-site scripting. OK, and with that, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Hi, Adrian Felt, good work. So performance, you know, is going to be a major impact for adoption. So why didn't you do the optimizations to see how far it could bring it down?
So actually, the previous work for CCS was actually kind of the tainting engine inside Chrome. It was basically my master thesis. It took me half a year to get that running stably. And there was one bug that was kind of inside the assembler code that I didn't figure out for, like, I think 4 weeks, because it's super tricky, because if you don't know exactly what you're doing and you haven't written that code actually, it's super tricky to kind of, try and understand what is going on. And this is why, in this case, we opted to say, okay, we tried actually to go further in terms of trying to do everything inside ASM. But it was just too error-prone, and this was basically why we're not doing this. And as I said, we didn't develop V8, and I think if I asked the V8 developer, it would be pretty easy or relatively easy for him to adopt the scheme.
I have a question. Can you elaborate a little more about how you evaded the auditor and what kind of modification you had to do in order to be able to bypass that?
Okay, so. As I said already, I mean, basically the biggest portion of the bypasses were actually caused by this inner HTML performance decision, which is, I guess, for reflected XSS, it makes sense. Again, eval was another big part. We often had, the most kind of interesting issue, I would say, are what we call multi-flows. So we basically have some advertisement that takes basically we want to have the referrer of the current page, so it writes document write iframe source advertisement referrer equals document dot location dot href, and then at some later point in that same document write, it uses that once more. So what we can actually do in this case is rather than trying to go ahead and inject our complete payload in this first part, it's kind of, we're doing it backwards actually. So initially we're closing a script tag, then opening a script tag, putting some payload there, then comes the rest that is benign, and then again we have the second injection where we again close the script tag. So you have kind of, again, the auditor is doing string matching. So in this case, it has no chance of actually matching it because this is like twice. And this is, I think, kind of one of the most prominent or most complex examples. We did give a talk at Black Hat on that topic like 2 weeks ago. And if you check out that site, kittenpix.org, you will actually find the slides for that. I think also with examples of code, which explains it a little bit more.